Me. Welcome to church. Oh my goodness, today is going to be amazing. You're going to love it. God is going to meet with us today.
Hallelujah.
Okay, now, hold up. Now think about that. The Creator is here. Yeah? That's bonkers, crazy, awesome. And we get to worship God here in God's presence. So let's pray and then we're going to worship. God, we come to you today with open hands. We give you everything and we want to receive all that you have for us. So have your way. Jesus, we thank you for the work that you did on the cross. And as we celebrated Easter just a couple of weeks ago, we know that the tomb is empty and you are alive. And so we worship you. And Holy Spirit, move in our hearts, move in our minds, quicken our spirits. Minimize our response time so that we can fully engage into your life. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's worship.
You want to do what you want.
our hearts to you. Sing, all consuming fire, fall on us. Singing, it's just got such a Trinitarian theme, Father, Son, Spirit, and so as we sing it today, let's just worship this God of love. Sing with me.
Behold the Father's heart, the mysteries He lavishes on us, as deep cries out to deep, how desperately He wants us. The things of earth stand next to You like a candle to the sun. Unfailing Father, what compares to His great love?
Sing about the sun.
Your love.
something worthy.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, Jesus. Jesus, the owner of every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Hard week for some people. It's been a great week for some people. And through it all, the thread that runs so true is that we serve a God who makes ways where there is no way. A God who does the impossible. A God who loves beyond all measure. Amen? So as we come to prayer time, just sing this chorus with us.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Then again, Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
I love that we sang, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. Can you just think about those words for a second? That so many of our friends and our family and people that we know are building their lives on other things. And maybe some of us are too, if we're really honest. That those foundations are shaky. But the love of God is a firm foundation, one that we can trust and one that we can build our very lives on. And here's the thing, is that when we are firm in that foundation of God's love and we really pay attention to how much He loves us, y'all, if it's not spilling over into other people's lives, they're missing out. They're on shaky ground. They don't know what's going on with their lives. They're unsure of next steps. They're worried about what's coming. There's so much that is uncertain for them. But we know what the firm foundation is, and it is God's actual love for us. And so I hope that this morning, as you just pay attention to how much God loves you, that at the same time, He will bring to mind someone in your neighborhood, someone that you work with, someone that you see on a pretty regular basis, who you know, things are kind of shaky for them. I think that those names hopefully will come to mind. And so this morning, as you focus on God's love, as we pray, will you pray for that person? Just one person. Just pray that you will be kind of a messenger of this love that they can depend on, that they can trust. That you will get to play a part in them having this understanding of God's love being a firm foundation for them. That's a dangerous prayer. But you know what? It's not you that does it. It's God who does the work through you. We just have to be willing to say, yeah, we'll be there. We'll be available. We'll let them know how much God has just proven Himself over and over again. So let's pray and pray for that person today. Lord Jesus, there is so much uncertainty in the world. There's so much that we tend to worry about. There's so much that we think that we can control somehow. And yet when we get caught up in the truth that you love us a crazy amount, when we really pay attention to how much the Creator of this very world and the universe really cares for us. Oh God, it does something in our hearts and in our minds and in our hands and in our feet. And God, I just pray that you'll open our eyes to those around us who need to know that you and your love are really the only firm foundation that we can depend on. And so this morning, I lift up every single person that has come to mind for my friends in this room. Every single person who their face popped in to someone's mind. I pray that each of those people, even now, will begin to wonder, is there more? Who could I talk to? Who could I ask questions about? That even now, that person will start to pay attention to their shaky foundation. And that each of us, even today, will reach out in some way, will send a text message, will knock on a door, will send a note, will do something to make a connection to just say, hey, you were on my mind today. Lord, will you give us courage? Will you give us strength? Will you work through us? Because we don't know how to do stuff. And so we depend on you for all of that. And we just want to be willing. Because it's not about people filling up chairs in this place, even though gathering is important and we grow together and it's important. But God, it is about your kingdom coming. This world changing in good ways because we're paying attention to your love and it's helping us love each other. We do love you. We're trying. We can't help it when we pay attention to how much you love us. And so this morning, God, we just want to say thanks. Thanks for how you love us. Thank you for the work that you've done in our lives. Thank you for the firm foundation that you have given us. Thank you that you want to partner with us to make a difference in this world. We love you. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I am happy to see you. Well, I can see like three of you right now because of the lights. Hi. Hello. It's good to see you, like literally. Hey, well, this morning as we come to this time of passing the peace, we love this time. We like to talk to each other, and I love that. And we do this very intentionally. We want to get to know each other, and I want to know like what's been going on in your week and all of that stuff. But I want to be able to look you in the eye. I want to be able to say to you, may the peace of Christ be with you today. Thank you. Will you stand up and will you extend that peace to each other? Maybe lock eyes with someone and let them know that you love them. Kids, you can go back with Miss Joy.
Check, check.
Hi, everybody. I wasn't paying attention, and I'm next, so I apologize. Oh, my goodness. It's so, look at this. If you watch us online, you are missing this. And this is a really important part of who we are. Oh, my goodness. Okay, find your seats, y'all. Come on. I got to reel us back in. Oh, yeah, yay.
Yeah, exactly.
I have the privilege of reading the scripture today, and we're going to... I was thinking the other day... Uh-oh. You got it? All right. I know. It sounded very heavenly. I was thinking the other day at how everybody has liturgy. Everybody has ritual. You know, there's a pastor that every time they open, he says, "This is my Bible. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be." And everybody has it. Ours is this prayer for understanding, because we want God to quicken our hearts and our minds as we hear truth. And so I'm going to invite you to pray with me this prayer for understanding, and then we'll hear some scripture. Pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. I feel like I'm still hearing music. You want to make sure the CD or whatever is off? Maybe it's just the heavenly angels catching up to us. I've got two passages today. The first one is in Acts chapter 4. If you have your Bibles and want to turn there, if not, you can just hear the word. Just to set this up, this is coming right on the heels of Peter and John heading to the temple, one of the most famous temples in the area, and they see this beggar along the side of the road, and he's begging, and he says, they say, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." And this beggar, who had been unable to walk, stood up, picked up his mat, and started going berserko praising God. And so what happened is the religious leaders of the day didn't like that, because he's praising Jesus and they don't like Jesus. And so they arrest Peter and John, and here's what happens. Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. "The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other relatives of the high priest. And they brought in the two disciples and demanded, 'By what power or in whose name have you done this?'" This being healing this man. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all and to all people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scripture where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved.'" And then the second passage is 1 John chapter 3. Now, we all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." We're going to read 1 John 3:16, and I love it because it sounds very similar. So we're going to read 1 John 3:16 through 24, I think. Yeah. "We know what real love is because Jesus gave his life for us. So we ought to give our lives up for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees his brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey him and do the things that please him. And this is his commandment. Okay, so if he's telling us that there's a command, we probably need to listen. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we must love one another, just as he commanded. For who obeys God's commandments, those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know that he lives in us because his Spirit gave us. Because his Spirit he gave lives in us. Y'all, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I go to church every Easter. Can't remember when I didn't attend some church, somewhere, on Easter weekend.
But if you want me to be totally honest
and totally transparent,
I gotta admit something to you.
I'm not sure how the story of the empty tomb affects my life.
Affects my life.
Affects my life.
Please understand, I'm not questioning whether or not it can change my life.
I'm pretty sure there's something in the story that could speak to me.
I'm asking the hardest question of all.
I'm asking you.
I'm asking you.
I'm asking you. So what?
So if you're visiting with us, we're in the middle of a series that is a little different. It's less about preaching text, and it's more about hearing the sermon that is being written in the lives of people. And we're talking about encounters with Jesus. And if you missed it a couple of weeks ago, oh my word, do you remember who we had? Yeah, we had Vanessa, and she talked about how she was literally all but dead, and how God physically and spiritually raised her. And next week I'm excited because we have Miss Liz that's going to be sharing. I don't see you, Liz, but I know you're here. And she's going to be sharing. But today I have the honor of inviting one of my friends up. And I have known him for 2.5 years-ish, something like that, a couple years. So I want you to welcome. They've been coming here since October-ish. So Kyle and his wife Jessie are here. The kids, Preston and Layla, I shouldn't have said their names online. But are there in the back. But I want you to help me welcome my buddy Kyle up here.
Got it? We'll see.
Oh, yeah, we got it.
All right.
Is that an okay height?
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to give you this.
All right.
Just rest it on
your chin. We'll be
good. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Right here.
Me now.
Oh, wait, did I turn it on? Is it on?
Hello.
There we go. All right. So, hold on. I got my questions that I typically ask. So, I've known Kyle. I met him playing disc golf, and which is honestly because Ken invited me to play disc golf and Jason, and we just got to know some guys at the disc golf field, and this is one of the dudes that we met one day, and his name was Kyle. And so, okay, I already answered. How long have you been coming to Pionaz? How did you find us? Because people may not know. Well, I guess I just told you. Oh, y'all, I'm ruining this.
No. We can still tell the story,
okay,
though.
Okay, yeah.
All right. So
So it was 2021, summer of 2021, and I was playing disc golf with Ken and his brother Dick and a friend of theirs, Ron, and we see these two, Garen and Jason, running around the park, and they asked if they could play with us, so we invited them in, and the three of us kind of hit it off. Me and Garen and Jason, we started to play outside of that group and started to get to know one another. And
we did Taco Tuesdays until yep. Jason got sick on a Taco Tuesday, and I don't think we've been back to that place since then. Have you?
They invited us out, to some family nights with them, which was really cool. And this was at a time when I had just found a therapy that was helping with pain relief, and I was just getting some mental clarity back. And
so I'm going to stop you real fast.
Go ahead.
Give us a 90-second synopsis of growing up and what led you to the 2021.
90 seconds. Holy smokes. Okay. So. So I grew up in the church. My foundation was in the church with my family, and every Sunday and every Sunday night for youth group. I was a youth leader in high school. I had many God encounters as a young person. But they were facilitated by my parents, and which I praise God for that they introduced me to it at a young age. And we were very involved in our community, we were involved in mission work, so those different activities presented a lot of God encounters. So that was kind of my introduction to my faith. And so as I started to get through college, I never lost my faith, but I started to grow away from the church a little bit. I was busy. I was an athlete all the way through high school and college. I met my wife on the track team in college. She was a 2-time All-American runner. I just want to point that out. She's a way better athlete than me. I met her and our young lives. We grew away from the church a little bit. And Jesse actually was, her family was not, came from a completely different side of the spectrum. So Jesse had never been really introduced to the church, and she had a lot of questions. She was very interested, and at that time I just didn't feel like I was the person to introduce her to faith, and because I had kind of grown away from it. So that fast forward through college, my career took off really fast, and things were going extremely well. We were moving all over. We started in North Carolina. I was selling jewelry, and for a small family-owned chain of jewelers, well, largest family-owned chain of jewelry stores in the nation. And they moved us back to Michigan, where I managed my first store, and then we moved to Daytona Beach in 2011. And 3 years later, I went for a run one day, and I got hurt, and I had a rare injury called compartment syndrome, and my case of compartment syndrome was even rarer because it continued to come back. They would release this pressure would grow and rise in my lower legs, and it would cut the circulation off to my feet, and so they had to make these large incisions on either side of my calves and to release the pressure. And then they'd send you home, tell you to stay off your feet. And I went back in the first time, and they were ready to take the stitches out. And I told them, I'm like, something still just doesn't feel right. It still feels like there's a lot of pressure. And those incisions, they went to take the stitches out, and they dehissed. I like to say exploded, but Jesse doesn't like that word.
We may have to, for the weak stomach, we may have to skip.
I'm not going to tell all that.
Just a little bit.
So I'm going to tell all that. But
I just
one surgery turned into 12 major surgeries, 15 total, and almost 2 years off my feet. And at that point, I was all set and done with God. And I was I was angry. I could not imagine why he would do something like this to a person like me. I felt like I had been a good person, and I felt like we had I had so much going on in my life that was good, and it was gone in the snap of a finger. And it was the most difficult time in a young family. The most difficult thing I think a young family could ever go through. So then I met these guys years later after going through. We could talk for hours about that whole what went on through that 8 years of 6 years up to the point where I met Garen and Jason. But we're going to fast forward to that just so we can talk about how God started to re-enter my life.
Yeah. So when we met him, he was playing disc golf and throwing it 10 times farther than I could ever throw it. So I had no idea that probably a year before he was like.
Not a year before, like months before I met Jason and Garen, was probably the darkest time of my life. And that was probably, when I look back on it now, that was probably the most important God moment. Was my wife found a therapy that saved my life, and it was an infusion therapy that, had she not found it when she did, I'm not sure that I would be able to sit here and chat with you guys. And I just wanted to quick tell that story because it's. When we went to this infusion, she forced me to go. I did not want to do it. I had already decided that my life was going to be.
Jesse is confirming he was very angry.
Yeah, I had already decided my life was going to be chronic pain and pills and whatever I could do to escape pain. That I had reserved myself that was it. And so I spent each day, I would wake up, and whatever I had to do to escape that pain, I did it. I didn't care what it was. And that took me into a hole. And Jesse found this therapy. We had heard about it years prior, but we never pursued it. When we first went to the office that day, we got out of the car, and I'm in a lot of pain, and I'm angry. And I couldn't find the door to this building. And Jesse's like, just calm down, relax. He's trying to get me to calm down. And I'm like, just get back in the car. We're going home. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And so I start marching back to the car, and this lady ran out of the office. And she was like, are you Kyle? And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. So she literally ran out of the office to get me and came out. And we went in and did the appointment. I thought this doctor was completely full of crap. I thought he was a liar. I thought that he was just feeding me full of a line that he could fix me and make me better. And he told me I was going to be a different man at the end of the week and all this stuff. And it all seemed like junk to me. But he was right. And 5 days later, after 5 days of 4-hour infusions, the pain and complex regional pain syndrome was my diagnosis in my left leg, which presents extreme neuropathic pain. So things hurt that shouldn't hurt. Showers feel like lava running down your leg. Air, sometimes my wife would have to turn the fans off in our house because a stiff breeze could send me into a times 10 flare-up. My skin would turn colors. My hair would fall out. I wouldn't sleep for days. And this was, at this point, we had two kids. We had a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And so we had all that going on, plus a chronic pain condition that has a nickname called the suicide disease. And I remember when I first heard that, the suicide disease, I thought, there's no way. Not me. I'll beat it. I've beat everything else in my life. I'll just power through it. And for the first time ever, that was something that it broke that confidence. It broke my ego, and I realized I can't beat this. And that was the most shame I've ever felt, that I couldn't overcome this pain. And I would lash out. I would do things that were scary, try to cut my own leg off and do things that young kids shouldn't have to be around and a wife should never have to watch. I suffered, and she suffered because of my suffering. So
what a unique situation. But do you hear parts of his story? I feel like, in a sense, are my story too. That I can do this on my own. And then when I can't, the shame that comes from realizing I can't do it on my own. The belief that I can beat this, and then the hopeless feeling when everything you relied on and thought was going to work doesn't work. And the self-medicating, whether it's food or alcohol or whatever, but we always feel like we can fix it with something on our own. We can figure out how to fix it. His story is so unique and extreme, but I just want to be sure, as we're talking about encounters with Jesus, can you hear the story of your life and some of the threads that are running through humanity? So, Kyle, let's talk about how did you encounter Jesus over the past couple of years? Give us a couple of situations or moments where you're like, I know God was here, and I heard God, or I saw God, or I felt God, or... Like, how have you, because you are clearly not that person now.
No.
You had something happen between
some major
that chapter and this chapter. And so, what happened? Because I'm sure there are people going like, what?
When I met Garen and Jason, Garen and I went and played this round of disc golf. And I have to tell that story, because we played this round at Tuscaloosa Park. And he was all excited about this grant that they were working on, and they were going to reach the community with this grant money. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm so excited because I think we're going to be able to reach people that don't go to church. And I'm like, yeah, that's me, non-believer. And you're trying to reach me. And I'm like, you won't find me at church. And we kind of laughed about that, and now we laugh about it because I'm here. And it was just, I think... there were continual seeds throughout the journey. We just so happened to move into a neighborhood. My neighbor Tom and his wife Patty became close friends of ours. And he would continually come down to my house and leave these little... He goes to Crossroads Church, and he'd leave these little cards to invite us to different services or different events that they were... community events that they were having, Halloween or whatever it was, and he just... I would tell him, hey, you lost cause here, but thanks for the invite. And but he never stopped, and he continually tried to reach out to me. So I guess I think the big break for me, the big Jesus encounter recently, was this therapy that was working so well. My body had created a tolerance to it, and I was having to go do these infusions monthly, and even then it wasn't as successful at keeping these pain symptoms at bay. And the amount of fear that I had, that I still have towards that pain, it's hard to describe. So we couldn't go backwards, and I remember doing the last infusions that I did were in October of last year, and I did these infusions, and I got no pain relief, and I was sitting at home on the second night, and my wife had to take the kids to school for an event, and the pain was insurmountable. I couldn't figure out why it was so bad, because I was doing this therapy and it was supposed to work, and I'd already had all these letdowns, and I thought we were on the right track. And I started having a full-blown panic attack because I thought we're going to go backwards, and I'm going to go back to pills, and I'm going to be back to trying to escape this. And I called my neighbor Tom right away, my best friend, And I asked him to come down to sit with me because I needed somebody to be there because I was panicking. And so he came down, and I screamed out to God or to the universe, why am I not strong enough to overcome this? Why can't I beat this? And I heard this voice in my head, and it is as clear as anything I've ever heard, say, you have always been strong enough. You just forgot how to be strong. You forgot where your strength lies. And in that moment, in a full panic attack, and I was in a lot of pain, all of a sudden I started to feel this peace come over me, and all of these memories started to rush through my head of my childhood. And all the things that we had done, and all these God encounters that I had had as a child. And I have to tell you about one of them, because it was what reminded me that this is how I always want to feel. I never want to turn away from that again. When I was in high school, we did these mission trips to Neon, Kentucky as a youth group. And my parents were chaperones. They would go with us. And I was from Northern Michigan. And we'd fill up two vans full of kids. We'd have like 20 kids go on these trips, and we'd go to Neon, Kentucky, and we would tear down. This was a very impoverished town that had been overwhelmed by drugs, old mining communities. And we would go and tear down these homes that had become, for lack of a better term, crack houses. And then they would rebuild, nice new homes for families in need. And the home that we went into to tear down, the second trip that we made there, was the most eye-opening experience of a 16, 17-year-old that you could imagine. It was filled. We pulled out 7-gallon jugs of syringes. There was trash filled all the way to the roof in all of the bedrooms. It was like a 3-bedroom house. It was disgusting. We found just some of the most disgusting things you could ever imagine in a crack house. It was horrible. But by the time we got it all cleaned out, like the second to last day, one of the kids that was with us, his name was Tick Baker, he got stabbed by one of these needles, and it was terrifying. And we all had to wear gloves, but it poked through just right, and it poked him in the finger. And he had to go to the hospital and be tested for hepatitis and HIV and all these things, and we were all really scared. And he got to come back on the very last day, and he was okay. Everything was good, and we tore this thing all the way down to nothing, to the foundation. And I remember tearing the last wall down, and we knocked the last wall down, and all these kids went and stood on this wall, and all these chaperones and all these families in this community, they're all standing on the sidewalk clapping their hands and raising their hands up and praising God, and they're looking at us and coming over and hugging us and shaking our hands, and we're young, 16 years old, and we stood on that wall, and we all cried and prayed together, and I have never in my life felt God in a moment more than that. That was what I knew in my heart. Now fast forward to this panic attack. That memory went through my head and many others that I had as a child. And I thought, why did I ever turn away from that? How could I ever, like that feeling is a feeling that I don't ever want to lose again. And now what's super cool is, there's breadcrumbs all throughout my story of Jesus just here leaving a crumb, like, don't go too far. I'm still here, so obviously there's something for me still to do. And now I don't feel like that. Now I've opened my heart back to Jesus, and I'm seeking out these God encounters in everything that I do, and I don't feel like they're breadcrumbs anymore. Now I feel like he's throwing loaves of bread at me. Like, hey, this way, man, this way. And it's a very peaceful feeling. So I'm sorry. So, you know I like to talk. So.
Yeah, yeah. So it was. So Kyle didn't know that Jason and I were pastors for probably 6 months.
Yeah.
Which is always fun because people say a lot of stuff around friends that they wouldn't say around pastors. And you know, but there was a situation that happened, and Jason was like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but Garen and I are pastors. Can we just pray for you? And that started a different kind of relationship. And I remember when he finally called and said, hey, let's get together. I've given my life back to God. And like knowing his story, I was like, okay, let's talk about this. Because we had gone through so many conversations that reminded me of, there's a passage in Acts where, was it Paul that goes into the city and sees all the statues of the gods? I think it was Paul. It might have been Peter. And he sees this statue to an unnamed god. And I remember walking with Kyle as he went from, this is all a bunch of baloney, to, okay, well, I feel like there's a force in the universe, but I'm not going to say it's God. And,
yeah. And I knew who God was, and I knew what Jesus could do in your life, but for a long time, I honestly felt like my religion was don't feel anything. And then when all of it started to come back, I felt like a bullet leaving a gun after I found that therapy that took the pain away. But there was always something that was just missing, and it just wasn't quite right. And then when that started to fail again, that was like my last straw. And right when I needed him most, that's when he showed up. Hey, you just forgot where it was. And I got to tell the hospital story because I didn't get.
Oh,
to
let
it
me
yet.
Wait. Let me finish. Okay. Let me finish. Like, okay, you got time for. So I meet with him because he tells me I gave my life to God, and I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? So we walk around. What's the park with the dragons or the dinosaurs?
Sugar Mill Gardens.
Sugar Mill. So we're walking, and I'm just trying to feel like is he just saying he feels like he's having a spiritual encounter or what? So we sat down. And I point blank said, like, what do you mean when you say I am a Christian? And he's like. Means I gave my life to Jesus. And he pulls out his Bible. I want to ask you about a passage in Corinthians. I was like, oh, okay. All right. Like I was like, okay, this is for real. And like, so the last few months, and we're not going to talk about this probably because I think you need to share it in CR and have people come. But he went through a process, but I want you to tell about the lady in the hospital. This is after a bunch of traumatic situations in the hospital that did not go like they were supposed to, and
so Garen doesn't pass out. We'll
see why I did that.
Try to summarize. I had a below knee amputation that did not go well, and it became infected, and they didn't catch it, unfortunately. So I ended up having to have an above knee amputation, like a week after I had been released from the hospital. The night before that surgery, I'd been readmitted because I clearly had an infection. I went septic, and my blood pressure went down to 60 over 44. And it was the scariest night of my life. It was the closest I've ever been to death. And so they did the surgery, and it was an extreme amount of pain. Both of them were not easy surgeries, but that second one was really, really painful. And I was laying alone one night, one morning, and I had been ringing my call button to get someone to come in, and because I was in so much pain and no one was coming, and I was crying, and I just started praying out loud, and I was like, God, if you're there, I need something. I need anything right now because I'm not sure I can get through this night. This is it. So if you're there, you got to come right now. And this lady walked into my room named Miss Lisi, and she walked in, she looked right at me and she said, do you need me? And I said, I need something. I need anybody. And she came in and she immediately started praying for me. And she started reading out of my Bible. She looked up scripture and started reading to me, and she said, God's got you. He heard your prayer. I have no idea. But no, I do know. I don't have no idea. I do know what happened. Again, when I needed him, the most. And I asked for him. He was there. And that's the most comforting feeling in the world, to know that even in your darkest hour, even when things get to their lowest, if we can turn to him at that, in those moments, he will answer. And he did. So her and I became great friends, and she continued to check on me for the rest of my 2-week stay and or 10-day stay. And that was a connection. I even got to talk to her husband, who's the pastor at her church, and ended up getting to talk to him on the phone. And he was like, "Man, that is such a great testimony for both of you, you know, asking for God and him, you know, her just happened to be walking by at that moment." I don't know. That's pretty amazing.
How can we pray for you in the coming days?
Well, this is all still very fresh and new for us. Trauma has been a recurrent theme in our lives. So, brutal honesty, it has taken its toll on my family. It's taken its toll on my wife and I. We sometimes don't know how to communicate with one another anymore, in the sense that pain has always resulted in something horrific, something catastrophic. And now there's these pains that are healing and that feel right. They feel like, keep going and keep doing this, move in this direction, you're doing the right things. And that can be really scary if you've been through a whole bunch of things that have always resulted in the worst possible outcome. And so we're trying to navigate that. So if you could pray for my wife and I, and my family and I, to learn to communicate with one another, and for both of us to stay focused on healing and not to dwell in the past and all of the things that are already done, because this is a new chapter. And that's what we said when we did this surgery, was that this would be a new chapter. And that's what I want it to be. So if you could pray for us in that sense, that would be amazing.
So I want us to do that right now. And I don't remember if I said this with Vanessa, but I should have. If you want to come up and stand up here and place a hand on Kyle and pray with him, join me up here and we'll do it. I'm thankful. Something you said struck a chord with what I heard this past weekend at our district advance, that there are times when we may feel far from God, but we know that God is never far from us. God has not left us. And I'm thankful that God has been working in and through situations for Kyle. Jason, I've been talking a lot. Would you want to pray? If not, I'll do it.
Hey, Lord, we love you, Lord. You are beyond anything we could ever imagine. And I'm so thankful that you have revealed things through Kyle, through his struggles, that are a light to us. Lord, might we find the hope like Kyle is finding. Might we be set free like he's being set free. And Lord, I pray healing over him that just doesn't make sense. Over him physically, but also in his marriage with his kids. I know that the Kramer family will be a light to this world that it has been seeking for so long. Reveal the dark places. Make them revealed through their lives. Put your light where it needs to be. Bring hope where there needs to be hope. And let that light snuff out any shame, any guilt in those, so there can be true freedom that only comes through you, God. But I just want to thank you over and over again for what you've done to Kyle, through Kyle. It's so strange to thank you for the struggles, Lord, but I want to thank you for the struggles that are turning him into somebody incredible that none of us will ever. I'm thankful I'll never go through this, probably, But I'm thankful that you're taking this and turning him into someone that is just a light unlike any I've ever seen. We praise you, God. And in the end, we know all the glory is yours. You are the light that we need. You are the strength. You are all the power we could ever ask for. And we praise you in all things. Amen.
Amen. Love you too, buddy.
Square the vulnerable spot. I appreciate your vulnerability.
Thanks, man.
I'm not sure which leg to go down on. Here we go.
I know, Kyle, you're probably not the guy I want to see up here with the mic right after you spoke. I'll try not to make any jokes, like how you can hardly notice and stuff like that. But as Kyle will tell you, I'm probably not the guy to bring along to doctor's appointments and therapy sessions, as this just, it's a good time, right? Kyle just does a lot of this, but I'm going to say, he's it's not just another chapter, man. I feel like you're part of a saga, like it's a Lord of the Rings type thing, starting with the Hobbit. And he introduced me to something just last week where he's getting fitted and doing his therapies, getting strength. I was introduced to a completely new type of environment, and I want to say new type of church. The place where he is getting this work done is run by followers of Jesus, and they're doing miraculous things with technology, but also with love and caring. And we sat for I don't know how many hours in there that first day, six, 7 hours. And I was like, man, we can stay through the night if you want to. It felt like the greatest revival service I've ever been to. And it was just people being made whole again. Guys like Kyle, some young Ukrainian soldiers were in there getting put back together. Old guys, young kids. A kid that I met at a park in Port Orange showed up one day when we were there. Little guy, and God is revealing new things through you, through your struggle, and I'm thankful for it. One of the lessons I'm being taught has to do with what you said in your scripture, and what you said as you were speaking. Guilt and shame. How many of you feel this morning exactly how you could wish you'd feel at your very best? That's good. I was hoping to see very few hands. That's okay, because what you said, I think, resonates with that. Because God is constant. God is a constant truth that is always there. And as we come to the cup this morning, partake in the body and the blood, figuratively, we can be completely set free from guilt and shame. Many of us have been told that we can't. Maybe not with words, but with how we've been shown things. Jesus said, you are free. How many of you have asked God for forgiveness from the things of your past? Things that are shameful. I'm telling you, you are set free from that shame. Don't let others tell you you're still under shame for what you've been forgiven from. Don't let others tell you you're guilty from things that you've been guilty from. Jesus came to his followers just right before they were going to take him, put him to death. And he said, this right here, this is my body broken for you. It wasn't just some symbol that he was talking about. He was literally saying, I am going to be broken and bled out for you so that you can be set free in a way you've never been able to be set free before. So as you come this morning, as you dip the bread, as you eat it, as you partake in what Jesus told us to partake in, know that you don't have to suffer from shame and guilt anymore if you really have been set free by him. It is one of the hardest things. After how many years have we been following Jesus, and we still suffer with guilt and shame? Showalters, you want to help me? I want to ask another friend to come up. Mike, I'm going to try not to embarrass you too much. My buddy Mike. Some of you have seen him around. Sorry, not Mike Chambers. Don't feel too embarrassed. This is my friend Mike. Mike went to Bible school. Felt a calling from God, right? And then there was guilt and shame heaped upon you still because you weren't who they said you should be, correct? I know I didn't ask you this beforehand. Mike has felt the calling of Jesus back on his life. Mike is feeling set free from guilt and shame that didn't come from Jesus but came from a system. We are followers of Jesus and he sets us free. And I'm proud of you, brother. I'm thankful to have you along. Thank you. Well, I'm going to set this down. If you are new here, feel free just to follow the people in front of you. But know as you take this, remember, Jesus has set you free from all the things that the evil one would love to use to oppress you. Come be set free.
In the palace, in the land of mercy, the king looked out from his throne. He saw the sick and the homeless and hungry. He saw me lost and without hope. And moved with compassion, he sent out his only son with the invitation. This is your invitation. Come just the way you are. Come find what your soul has been longing for. Come find your peace. Come join. So I stood outside the gates and prayed in my rags of unworthiness, afraid to even stand at a distance in the presence of holiness. Just as I turned to go, the gates swung open wide, and the king and his only son, they invited me inside. This is your invitation. Come just the way.
Oh my goodness. I hope that hearing some of Kyle's story inspired, touched, and reminded you that we are never alone. that God is with us. I've got a couple of announcements, and then we're going to go. The first one is, we're so glad you're here. We want to know you're here. We also want to be sure that we have updated information. I'm telling y'all, you think you gave it to us. And you may have. But we may not have it still. So please, scan the QR or fill out one of those cards and let us know how we can connect with you. Let us know how you might want to hear about some of the things that we offer, the CR, the men's group, the women's group, things that you might want to be involved in. Scan it. Also want to highlight, if you want to reach out and talk to a pastor, hey, I'd love to have you pray with me about something. I just want to let you know something that's going on in my life. I got a question about something that was said. Hey, I just feel like if you're going to be my pastor, I need to get to know you. Garen, Jason, Jen, Joy, Tim, talk to us. We'd love to get together. We would love to take you out for coffee and get to know you better. Also want to let you know, this is possibly one of the most underutilized things that we have. We are called to be a praying people. And I know it's difficult for us sometimes. I don't want to share my need because then everybody knows my business. You will be amazed at how God moves when the people of God are praying. So I encourage you, if you have a need, let us know. You can write it down on the prayer card. You can text or email that. And we would love to be praying with you and for you. Okay? Next thing is baptisms. We're going to have a baptism in the next coming couple of weeks. May 19th. It is set. Those of you that know Sienna, one of our teens, she's going to be baptized. And if you have not been baptized and you're like, I need to do this. I need to make this profession publicly with my church family, let us know. We want to baptize you as well. All right? And the third thing is, oh, I'm so excited. So, June and July, we have the rights for season 4 of The Chosen. Now, if you haven't seen The Chosen, I encourage you, watch seasons 1 through 3 and be ready for season 4. But we'll be showing those on Friday nights here on the middle screen, the big screen, and then that Sunday the pastor's going to be preaching about that story that you just saw lived out on the screen. There will be child care. You have a question? We have the rights to season 4 only. So what we're going to do is for the 8 weeks from June 1st till the end of July, minus, I think we're taking the 4th of July Friday off because it's right there. But we'll be showing one episode each night. So it'll be roughly 50 minutes to an hour. It's not forever. In at 7, out at 8, and then you can go get ice cream. But this is a series, I'm telling you, and I'm going to be honest with you. I watched episode one of season 1 probably 4 times. And I was like, yeah, it's all right, but I don't get it. And everyone was like, just keep watching. And I'll tell you, by like episode 3, I'm like bawling and like binging. And Jen's like, are you still watching that? I'm like, it's a different episode. Leave me alone. You know, so you're going to don't laugh at me. You'll cry too. So you want to be here for this. So Fridays this summer is movie night. Just plan on being here. Is that it for me? Is that it? Last thing is offering. I'm very thankful for the giving of this church. As we met with 135 other churches that were represented as Nazarene churches in the northern part of Florida, I'm just thankful that we are part of a group of people that proclaim Jesus as Lord, salvation to be found, and transformation that can happen in our lives now, not just someday when we get there, but now. this church is here in this community because you give of your time and your energy and your financial resources and your wisdom and all the ways that you give. And so I thank you. If you're a regular and you're giving financially, there are ways that you can give. I don't even know if we have a picture, but text tithe, in the box, all that stuff. But really, and we say this every Sunday, and it's no joke, our lives are an offering. Everything we do should be seen through the lens of, I'm yours, God. I'm a living sacrifice. Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to give? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to say? Lead me. So thank you for the way that you continually give. I think that's it. Will you stand with me? We sing our benediction, and I apologize. We're going a little bit long. Sorry. It was good stuff. And I'm glad you were here to hear it. And I encourage you, Kyle's someone that's worth taking out to coffee. So that, like, this is the abridged version. He's got, yeah, plan on an afternoon. Like, yeah, but it's so good. He left out so many good parts. So we sing our benediction here at church. And so sing it if you know it. And if not, just receive it. Here we go. We sing hallelujah. Let your kingdom come in our hearts, in our homes. Let your will be done. And as we go in your name, we shout and we proclaim, let your will be done in us. Go in God's peace.